Captain Yerley watched the tip of Destiny's jibboom edging steadily closer to the Desnarian galleon. He could read the other ship's name off her counter now, Archangel Chihiro, which didn't leave much doubt about who she'd actually been built to serve. And, even without his spyglass, he could make out individual officers and men quite clearly. Archangel Chihiro, despite her shorter, stubbier length, stood higher out of the water than Destiny, which undoubtedly made her crankier and more leewardly. She also had less tumble-home, undoubtedly a legacy of her merchant origins, and her forecastle and aftercastle had both been cut down, at least somewhat, during her conversion. She'd retained enough height aft, however, for a complete poop deck, and in some ways, Yerley wished Destiny had possessed the same feature. Destiny's helmsman's quarterdeck position left them completely exposed to musketry as well as cannon fire, whereas Archangel Chihiro's wheel was located under the poop deck, where it was both concealed and protected. As if to punctuate Yerley's reflections, muskets began to fire from the other vessel. They were matchlocks, not flintlocks, which gave them an abysmally low rate of fire. They were also smoothbores, which wasn't going to do any great wonders for their accuracy, although pinpoint precision wasn't much of a factor, firing from one moving ship at personnel on the deck of another moving ship. Whether or not any particular target was hit under those circumstances was largely a matter of chance, although it was just a bit difficult to remember that when a musket ball went humming past one's ear, as one had just done, a corner of his mind observed. Marine marksmen in the fore and main tops began returning fire, and if their rifled weapons weren't a lot more accurate under the conditions which obtained, the fact that they were armed with flintlocks, not matchlocks, at least gave them a substantially higher rate of fire. Someone screamed at one of the midship starboard carronades as one of those matchlocks did find a target, and Yerley saw a body pitch over the side of Archangel Chihiro's mizzentop and smash down on the poop deck with bone-pulverizing force as one of his marines returned the compliment. "I think we're just about close enough now," he mused, and glanced at Lathic. "Now, Master Lathic," he said crisply, and the first lieutenant blew his whistle. Sir Hiram Wellar didn't even turn his head as the seaman's body crashed onto the poop deck behind him. The man had probably been dead even before he fell. He was almost certainly dead now, and it wouldn't have been the first corpse Wellar had ever seen. He paid no more attention to it than he did to the splinters, suddenly feathering the planking around his feet, as three or four Carisian musket balls thudded into the deck. The other ship's marksmen had obviously recognized him as an officer, he noted, even if they didn't realize exactly how rich a prize he would make. Yet it was a distant observation, one which was not allowed to penetrate below the surface of his mind. The Commodore was scarcely unaware of his own mortality, but he had other things to worry about, as the tip of the Carisian's long, lance-like jibboom started to creep level with Archangel Chihiro's taffrail.
"Langhorne, this is going to hurt," he told himself.
The Carisian was coming even closer than he'd anticipated. It looked as if the other galleon's captain intended to engage from a range of no more than 30 yards. At that range, not even Waylar's relatively inexperienced gunners were likely to miss, and he grimaced as he considered the carnage which was about to be inflicted.
"But on both of us, my heretical friend," he thought grimly, "on both of us."
Another few minutes, and...
"Larboard your helm," Sir Duncan Yerley snapped. "Roundly now."
"Helmily, aye, sir,"
Chief Wigan acknowledged, and he and his assistant spun the big double-wheel spokes blurringly to larboard. The motion of the wheel moved the ship's tiller to larboard, which kicked her rudder in the opposite direction, which, in turn, caused the ship to turn abruptly to starboard.
Willar's eyes widened as the Carisian suddenly altered course. It was the last thing he'd expected, especially since it sent her turning away from Archangel Chihiro, turning up to windward across his flagship's wake, and not ranging alongside to leeward as he'd expected. Her yards tracked around with metronome precision as her heading altered, continuing to drive her, yet she slowed drastically as her new course brought her up closer to the wind, and Willar's initial surprise began to turn into a frown of confusion as he found himself looking at the Carisian galleon's larboard gunports. Her closed larboard gunports, since it was her starboard broadside she'd run out when she cleared for action.